It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope your day's going well. Hope your weekend ahead is outstanding. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is November 17 of 2023. Thanks so much for being here. However you are tuned in, you got options. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM. On our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Follow us on Twitter or X at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650thefan on the Zuck machine, and you'll find us. Just hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content into said Facebook feed. Bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all sorts of local and statewide and national sports content is. Fresh content, audio on demand, the podcast of this show, today's Waterloo Blackhawks weekend preview, all that and much more is there. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. Dial me up if you want to add to the program with any questions or comments. Save it in your phone, 319-277-1918. 1918-319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. Or you could email the show your questions or comments. Perhaps there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Don't be shy. Fire away. Email address is Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, we'll get to the stack. Area sports news and scores, as always, to lead off the show here in just a little bit. A lot to get to in the stack. Today is the last day of the 2023 high school football season. Crazy that will be in the rearview mirror after this evening when the Class 5A championship game takes place. But I'll get you up to date on everything going on at the Unidome and a whole lot more during area sports news and scores. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one. Get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set on what you may want to put a shekel or two down on this weekend as far as college football is related. After we're done hearing from the boys in Vegas, we'll get a forecast from Megan Mulford and then come back in the next segment and be joined by my colleague Rob Gray from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Rob does an outstanding job covering Iowa State football and basketball for the Gazette. He's based out of Ames, and he's going to join us to preview tomorrow night's big Big 12 showdown as Iowa State plays host to Texas. Iowa State reached bowl eligibility a week ago with that big win at BYU under the lights, and now they've got the Longhorns in their crosshairs and hoping to send them out of the Big 12 and to the SEC with an L on their record and then what could be the final matchup against Iowa State for quite some time. So we'll dig in on that matchup. We'll also talk a little Iowa State hoops, of course. TJ Otzelberger's team 3-0 this season, and we'll be back on the fan, back in action this coming Sunday. This Sunday, Iowa State plays host to Grambling State. That's an 11 o'clock pregame on Sunday morning and a noon tip-off. So you can always find all that information on games that air here on The Fan or any of our Koloff media stations here in Cedar Falls by going to the website, 1650thefan.com. Take that mouse to the on-air tab. You'll see a drop-down menu. Click on broadcast calendar. It's all there. That'd be a good, another good URL to have bookmarked on your internet browser. So, okay, we'll talk to Rob in the next segment, Iowa State football and men's basketball. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side and be joined by Logan Blackman on a Football Friday. Logan of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, creatively named. You can follow him on X at Logan_Blackman. And we'll do the usual. We'll talk about week 12 of the college football season. Iowa, Illinois, you and I, North Dakota State, Iowa State, Texas. We'll see if Logan's Heisman top five, top four has changed. Also his top college quarterback rankings as the season winds down and the NFL draft draws near. Something I'm keeping tabs on as a Chicago Bears fan for sure. Talk a little NFL week 11 as seems like maybe Logan's Bills are melting down a little bit, but we'll touch on the headlines there. And then, of course, we'll make our picks of the weekend. I need a bounce back week. I've had 2-1-2 weeks in a row after a string of 2-1s, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better about this trio of picks this week than I did a week ago. So stay around for that. Whether you think you need to fade me or not, I don't care. But nonetheless, I feel good about these picks. So we'll see how Logan's feeling. He didn't share much enthusiasm last week. It was just something about the board of games last week. Nothing jumped out to you, and it proved itself right. I went 1-2, but we'll make picks of the weekend as well when he joins us in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we will take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, and Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for a Friday, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show, wrap up the week. So that is what is on the docket, boys and girls. Real quickly, have you, I mean, if you've been listening to the Dan Patrick show, I know Rich Eisen talked about it as well today. All this controversy surrounding Carissa Thompson, previously had been at Fox Sports and ESPN, and is currently the pre- and post-game host with Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football. Carissa Thompson really kind of came into notoriety as a NFL, and I think she did college football sideline reporting, and she was on Barstool Sports podcast, Pardon My Take, recently, and admitted that she sometimes would, you know, make up what a coach didn't say to her when she wasn't able to catch up with the coach. And that's not easy for those sideline reporters, especially coming out of the locker room. Going into the locker room, most always the coach knows to find like the radio or the television person, the local person. But, you know, these Fox or CBS sideline reporters, they try to get them coming out of the locker room as well. That doesn't always happen. You know, the best laid plans sometimes can get disrupted. So in those scenarios, what she said was, you know, I'd just like look at how the game had transpired and say, you know, their quarterback had gotten sacked five times in the first half. I'd say, you know, Coach so-and-so mentioned they need to protect the quarterback and, you know, that they need to be better on third down. The quarterback's getting sacked and maybe they're 1-for-5 on third down or something. So just would make stuff like that up in the handful. It sure didn't sound by the way she talked about it that she made a habit out of it, but that's what she would do. And so this has caused this big stir in sports media where everybody today has turned into, or since yesterday, has turned into an ombudsman. And for me, it's like I don't find it surprising at all that Carissa Thompson did this. I think there are other sideline reporters out there that likely would never admit it, but probably have found themselves in similar situations. Then again, it to me makes less than zero sense that she divulged this. I mean, maybe she's just a person that can't die with any secrets. I doubt that, though. The trouble is, the podcast she was on is quite humorous. Like, that's a big part of their, like, their brand. And I think she was saying it to try to be funny or to maybe try to just, like, get people in the sports media to take themselves less serious, which a lot of people, I would say, as somebody in the sports media, there's plenty of people in it or media in general that need to take themselves less serious. I just don't understand why she felt compelled to divulge it, like it, especially on a platform like that. Maybe tell that story when, you know, cameras and microphones are not around and people could better understand it, be easier to contextualize it. But when you divulge that on a platform, context is the context that you hope will be adjacent to it. It's just going to get lost on the internet. It right and out in the mainstream. So I don't know, but it's a big firestorm today. So nonetheless, let's move on. Area sports news and scores. In case you missed it yesterday, Grundy Center captured its second straight championship as the Spartans rolled past MFL Marmac in the 1A state football championship game yesterday. Spartans were led by quarterback Colin Gordon, who rushed for two touchdowns and threw for a pair. Grundy Center finishes its season 13-0, and yeah, successful transition from Class A to 1A. It's the fifth state championship for the Spartans in school history. In other state football championship games yesterday at the Unidome, in case you missed it, Bishop Garrigan outscored Bedford 39-30 to win the eight-player title. West Hancock edged Woodbury Central 30-28 in the Class A final. And in the 4A championship, Lewis Central rolled past Western Dubuque 40-21. Meanwhile, today, as action wraps up on the high school football season at the Unidome, this morning in the 2A title game, Central Lion George Little Rock fell to Van Meter 24-21. Then in the second game, Class 3A championship, Bishop Heelan fell to Williamsburg 20-0. And kicking off tonight at 7, the Class 5A championship, Southeast Polk takes on Ankeny. A pair of Metro girls basketball teams tip off their seasons tonight as Cedar Falls plays host to rival Waterloo East. The Tigers are led by Grace Knutson, who last year as a junior was one of the state's top scorers and in Class 5A, averaging 21 points per game as well as 6 rebounds per contest. Listen to this game tonight over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pregame show with Dave Finnegan begins around 7:15. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has released district assignments for high school wrestling. Here's where Metro teams will compete at. In 3A, Cedar Falls will be at the district meet in Ames, while Waterloo West and Waterloo East will compete at the district meet in Marshalltown. In 1A, Waterloo Columbus Catholic will be at the district meet taking place at South Hamilton. The high school wrestling season officially starts on Monday, November 27th. Last night in women's college basketball, second-ranked Iowa failed to score in the last 3 minutes as it lost at home to Kansas State 65-58. Caitlin Clark struggled through a poor shooting performance, scoring 24 points, but was just 9 of 32 from the field, 2 of 16 from 3. Iowa, which had been averaging 92 points in its first 3 games, shot just 36% from the field and was 2 for 21 from long distance. Kansas State trailed 58-53 with 2:42 left in the game and then held Iowa scoreless the rest of the way. Hawkeyes now 3-1 this season. The Iowa football team has Senior Day tomorrow when it plays host to Illinois and has a chance to clinch the Big Ten West title outright. Iowa just needs to win one of its final 2 games to get that Big Ten championship game bid in Indianapolis. Game time tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium is at 2:35. As I mentioned, the Iowa State football team is looking for a win tomorrow night at Jack Trice Stadium against 7th-ranked Texas. And the Cyclones still alive for a trip to the Big 12 championship game, but got 2 tough games here in the final weeks with Texas this Saturday and Kansas State in its regular season finale a week from tomorrow. You can hear this game tomorrow night over on Cruisin' KCFI pregame show. Begins at 5, kickoff at 7. The UNI football team has a win-or-go-home de facto playoff game tomorrow at 4 at the Unidome against rival North Dakota State. The Bison have won the last 8 meetings against the Panthers. Pregame coverage begins at 3 on 93.5 The Mix tomorrow. Kickoff is at 4. The third-ranked Wartburg football team plays host to Illinois College in the first round of the NCAA Division III playoffs. The Knights won the American Rivers Conference Championship, are undefeated at 10-0. Illinois College is 9-1. Wartburg has won 23 straight games at Walston Hoover Stadium. Kickoff is at noon tomorrow. The Wartburg basketball team will be in action tonight, hosting the Buzz Levick Tournament. The Knights take on Northwestern of Minnesota at 8. Cornell will play Minnesota Morris in the first game at 6. Wartburg is looking for its first win after a pair of close losses to begin its season. UNI volleyball player Taylor Alden has been named the Missouri Valley Conference's Player of the Week in the Panthers' regular season finale on Wednesday night against Drake. The junior setter dished out a season-high 53 assists with 14 digs as UNI won in 4 sets. The victory capped UNI's first undefeated season since 2010 in conference play. It was Alden's 5th double-double of the season and 40th of her career. She went errorless on the night on 98 set attempts and also tallied 4 kills. And finally, the Waterloo Blackhawks will begin a demanding stretch tonight. 3 games in 3 days. The Hawks host Dubuque tonight, Des Moines tomorrow, and then travel to Sioux Falls on Sunday. Listen to the Blackhawks tonight and all weekend right here on The Fan. Pregame coverage begins this evening at 6:45. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Iowa State football and men's basketball. Rob Gray of the Gazette joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
The huge news in the NFL is that Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow is done for the season because of torn ligaments in his wrist.
That's football. You're going to get injured. Things are going to happen. You're going to have to overcome things. Everybody's overcome things in their career to get to where they're at. And everybody in that locker room has. Everybody across the league has. You know, this is nothing different from anything anybody else has experienced. It is what it is.
Now, the Ravens beat the Bengals last night, but they lost tight end Mark Andrews, likely for the rest of the season. Reports today say that Andrews suffered a cracked fibula and injured ligaments in his ankle in that win over Cincinnati. The Texans are going to be without wide receiver Noah Brown and running back Damian Pierce Sunday against the Cardinals. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel says he's optimistic running back Devon Achane plays Sunday against the Raiders, while the Vikings are listing wide receiver Justin Jefferson and running back Alexander Mattison as questionable for their game in Denver. Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen questionable to play in Green Bay on Sunday. He's dealing with a shoulder injury.
After you pour your cup of Joe, get a cup of Mark. Listen to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson, weekdays from 6 to 8 right here on The Fan.
Your season ticket to every football game is at Dad's Pub. Every game, every time. NFL, Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI. We have them all in a fun environment with great fans. I'm Jordan Headington, owner of Dad's Pub. Cheer on your gridiron favorites and enjoy $18 domestic beer buckets. During UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa games, get $2 fireballs when they score a touchdown. Daily specials Monday through Wednesday, plus 3 to 6 Thursday and Friday, will buy your second drink. The best seats in the house are at Dad's Pub on LaPorte Road, south of Mitchell and Waterloo.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings are all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Mike with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with your loved ones, to simply relax, or to entertain friends, we're here for you. We are Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo.
It's exciting UNI football Saturday at the Dome as the Panthers take on North Dakota State in their regular season finale. Kickoff at 4. Panther football is affordable family fun with tickets starting at $10. UNI versus North Dakota State Saturday at 4. Get your tickets online at unipanthers.com/tickets or call 273-4849. That's 273-4849.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com vsin.com/subscribe.
Iowa looks to clinch at least a share of the Big Ten West Division title when they host Illinois at Kinnick Stadium tomorrow. Hawkeyes are the 3-point favorite, the total 32. Iowa State is 5-15 all-time against the Texas Longhorns. They're a 7.5-point dog under the lights at Jack Trice Stadium tomorrow with a total of 47. In the NFL Sunday, the Bears are a 7.5-point road dog at the Detroit Lions, while the Chiefs on Monday night are a 2.5-point home favorite against the Philadelphia Eagles. College basketball tonight, the Iowa Hawkeyes, a 19.5-point favorite against Arkansas State at Carver Hawkeye Arena, 166 and a hook the total. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows around 29 tonight, under clear skies, southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, highs around 56. Clear skies again tomorrow night, lows around 31. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times, Sunday, with highs around 56. 47, chance for scattered rain showers, Monday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 43.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. We're joined now by Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Does a great job covering Iowa State football and basketball. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. Rob, as always, thanks for being here. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Cole. How about you? It's a true fall day, it feels like. A little bit cool, a little bit nippy, a little bit of a breeze. But, you know, it's been a fine November so far, and it's going to be pretty good weather tomorrow night. At Jack Trice Stadium, it could always be an adventure on a November 18th.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right about the weather. My family would use the same vernacular. A little nippy out there today, and it'll be so tomorrow night, as you alluded to, when the Texas Longhorns come to town. But first things first, Rob, I mean, how about last Saturday night under the lights at BYU? As much as BYU has struggled recently, they almost never lose under the lights at home. And Iowa State goes in there and just makes a statement with a 45-13 win. Abu Sama was just ridiculous in that game. What's still sticking out to you when you think back to Iowa State's impressive win a week ago?
Yeah, as much as they had a perplexing script against Kansas the week before, that I think really made it hard for them to win by falling behind early and just the sputtering offense until they got it on track in the second half. This was a complete reversal. I mean, Will McLaughlin, linebacker, gets an interception on the first play. You get a fumble on a kickoff or a punt shortly after that, and boom, you're up 10-0. BYU does respond with a 10-7, with a touchdown drive to make it 10-7. But after that, it's all Cyclones on both sides of the ball and in all phases. And as you said, I mean, BYU is really banged up. This is not a great BYU team by any stretch, but certainly not one that's accustomed to getting blown out at home, especially at night.
Rob, when it comes to Abu Sama, are we to the point where it's perfectly acceptable to start having conversations where you're like, I mean, this is looking like maybe some David Montgomery or Breece Hall stuff that's going on right here with this young man's potential.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to make a change of direction or a change of pace in a short amount of space. You saw it on the one touchdown run where he made a BYU defender couldn't even put a hand on him in a one-on-one situation on a rushing touchdown, you know, inside the 10-yard line. And he's got that special ability to seemingly effortlessly change direction, make that quick step that makes a guy miss and all of that. I mean, 8 carries, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns, the Big 12, newcomer of the week, offensive newcomer of the week, whatever the award is, richly deserved for Sama, and I think we'll see him more involved, but I know they really like Eli Sanders, too, who's very steady in that game. He's been probably the steadiest guy all season in their backfield. And Cartavius Norton, you see, when he's healthy, he can break off some big runs as well. So I thought they were going to kind of narrow to a two-man rotation. I think now that Sama has really, really had that kind of breakout game, I think why not move in three, and they use Carson Hansen, also a true freshman like Sama, in a lot of third down situations. He blocks it well and catches it well. So they got a lot of guys back there. Again, as long as the guys up front can do some work, and that's a really tall task against Texas, who clearly will have the best defensive front that the Texans have faced all season.
Before we dig in on the particulars about the Longhorns, Rob, caught wind that, you know, there's some players not mincing words in terms of their feelings for Texas. And, you know, Iowa State has had some recent success against the Longhorns. I don't know if I'll ever forget the Breece Hall quote where it's five-star players against five-star culture. So this is a game that I think by all means could end up maybe a little chippy if it's competitive on Saturday night. I mean, what's the vibe been like covering the players and hearing from the coaches this week on what kind of disdain they may have unveiled for Texas?
Yeah, extremely confident. And I've got that from everyone we interviewed. We had senior cornerback TJ Tampa. We had redshirt freshman quarterback Rocco Beck. We had sophomore linebacker Will McLaughlin, who I mentioned earlier. And the guy who made the biggest splash, senior offensive guard Jared Hufford, who, said, had a lot of choice words for the Longhorns, alluding to arrogance, alluding to, a lot of less than stellar qualities. He's kind of seen with Texas, where he said, Texas and Iowa, those are the games I always want to win. And he's had one Iowa win in his career. He's had a couple of Texas wins. So we'll see if they can make it three straight at Jack Trice Stadium against the Longhorns in the last meeting in at least a long time. And certainly the last meeting on a regular basis. And I don't know, Texas Open is an 8-point favorite, probably about right.
Yeah,
I think it's down to 7.5. And, I think the Cyclones will make this a four-quarter game as long as they don't turn the ball, do the little things in terms of the quote-unquote margins. If they're bad in that area, Texas could really pull away, and it could be Oklahoma-esque. If not, this game is down to the wire, and Iowa State certainly got a chance to get to 7 wins and really spoil the Longhorns' long shot hopes of finding a way into the college football playoffs, and obviously playing the Big 12 title game becomes in doubt as well.
Is it that Texas defensive line, Rob, that really stands out most to you, or is there something else perhaps that when you think about this is what could give Iowa State the most amount of trouble tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think it's the line and the linebackers. Their front varies based on however they decide to, configure their secondary. I mean, you got a guy that kind of burst out of nowhere, Ethan Burke, a former All-American lacrosse player who decided to play high school football and eventually got offered by Texas as an Austin kid, leads him in sacks. And you got the best, probably 1-2 punch in terms of interior defensive linemen in Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat, who just are a problem in both the run and pass games. And then you got another D lineman in Baron Sorrell, who's got 4 sacks. And by the way, there's Jalen Ford, an All American type guy at linebacker, leading the team in tackles at 7-4, and a couple picks and forced fumble recovery. So, these are guys that, they've been great against the run, 90.1 yards per game is ninth nationally. They are vulnerable against the pass, giving up close to 250 per game through the air, but they've had some guys out in the secondary that they may get some help back this week. And obviously teams have been coming back on them, so that usually means they're throwing the ball more, which would skew that number a little bit. But, boy, they're still good against the run. Iowa State will have to pass to set up the run in this game. Because if they just think they can go run, pass like they did in the failed attempt to beat Kansas until they adjusted, that's frankly a recipe for disaster against this Longhorns defense.
Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. Rob, before I let you go, let's talk a little Iowa State men's basketball. T.J. Otzelberger's team now 3-0 after a win last Sunday, 86-55 against Idaho State. I just thought it was another largely impressive effort against an inferior opponent. Checked most boxes in that win available to be checked. And among the things, a few things that stuck out to me, Rob, in that game, Curtis Jones looked like he found his shot a little bit, a guy that is being looked at and counted upon to offer perimeter shooting that this team so desperately needs. Got off to a rough start and then seemed to find it, like I said, against Idaho State. That's something that, as good as things have been going so far against, you know, weaker competition, Jones is going to need to be right by the time the Big 12 season rolls around.
Absolutely. And then, you know, adding the three transfers, I know Jackson Pavelecki has not played a ton as of yet, but, you know, the good thing is when you've got him, you've got Jones, you've got Keyshawn Gilbert, that came from UNLV, T.J. Otzelberger that originally recruited him there, and Taman Lipsy coming back and shooting it really well, not the last game, but in the first two.
Yeah.
You can have an off night from a guy or off couple of nights because Lipsy was great in the first two games, and Gilbert is as steady as it comes, both at the rim and from the arc, and especially the free throw line, where the Cyclones were worse than the Big 12 in a number of ways it measures last year. But yeah, Jones, they raved about his shooting coming in. He had a rough time in the first couple of games. And another key in all this is an experienced front court. Trey King had a really good game. He's been very steady. Hassan Ward's still flashing. Marion Watson. They're just so deep. And they're beating these teams that are very inferior, the 300 range of Ken Pom and down, by 30 instead of sometimes struggling against them offensively in Otzelberger's first two seasons. So you get these types of shooters experience in both the backcourt and the frontcourt, and you're able to breathe through these victories instead of sweating them out and going, oof, that wasn't pretty.
I will say, though, through these three games against the opponents that they have played, I totally can understand an adjustment period. Kind of figured Omaha Blue would have one of those 8.7 rebound games, 10 points, 9 rebounds, and he still looks like he's trying to get his legs out there, Rob.
Yeah, I think he wants to succeed so badly that, you know, there's that whole issue of maybe pressing a little bit.
Yeah.
We were able to talk to him, and he feels good about his trajectory. I think, you know, as great of a recruit as he is, a top 10 by some measure, certainly one of the best in the country, no matter who's, you know, compiling their recruiting rankings. And he's capable of doing it all, but again, it's a big adjustment to this level. He missed time with the team by having a great experience with USA Basketball. So did Pavelecki, but, you know, in the same role as Bill Yu. And he's flashed at times. He's had a dunk here and there, a hustle play steal here and there. It's just going to take a little bit of time with him, especially with that experience in front of him in the front court. You know, he said all the right things. He's just keeping working hard. And T.J. Otzelberger said, as I think I mentioned before, that once you impressed him by saying, "Coach, I want to earn everything here. I don't want anything handed to me." And that's a good level of maturity from a true freshman that's been told how great he is for a number of years to come in and have that type of humility. So he'll get there. I think it's just a matter of carving out his minutes and you know, among a very experienced group of guys.
Rob, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time. We'll follow your coverage tomorrow night of Iowa State, Texas, and catch up again soon.
Awesome. Always great to join you, Cole.
Likewise, Rob. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up during the break. On the other side, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. We'll talk Iowa, Illinois, UNI, North Dakota State, Iowa State, Texas, look at NFL Week 11, and make our picks of the weekend. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. An injury-plagued season will include a trip to the Big Ten championship game if the Iowa Hawkeyes can beat Illinois tomorrow in their home finale. The Hawks are on the doorstep of a West Division title, but will be without their best player. Cooper DeJean suffered a season-ending leg injury in practice this week, and it's the latest hurdle the Hawkeyes must clear.
It ultimately gets down to the players. If you have the right kind of guys on your team, you got a chance to do some good things. And I don't know how good we are, but we're becoming a really good team in terms of teamwork part of it. And yeah, the rest of the stuff will just play itself out on the field.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. It's a 2:30 kickoff in Kinnick Stadium. It'll be televised by Fox Sports 1. Iowa State tries to stay in the Big 12 title hunt tomorrow at home against number 7 Texas. The Longhorns lead the Big 12 race with a record of 6-1, while the Cyclones are part of a 4-way tie for second. It'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff in Jack Trice Stadium. It'll be televised by Fox. This is Radio Iowa.
How wrong has Ron DeSantis been on energy? Just listen for yourself.
I'm opposed to offshore drilling. We don't need to do offshore drilling. I'm opposed to offshore drilling. We don't need to do offshore drilling.
When the Trump administration fought for energy independence, DeSantis opposed it.
When President wanted to do offshore drilling, I opposed him on it.
And fracking? DeSantis opposed it again.
Do you also support ban of fracking?
Yep.
Ban of fracking?
Yep.
DeSantis even tried to waste billions on climate change.
Governor Ron DeSantis says he wants $1 billion to brace the state of Florida for climate change.
$1 billion for climate change, no offshore drilling, a ban on fracking. No wonder DeSantis tried to eliminate the renewable fuel standard and devastate Iowa ethanol. Tell Ron DeSantis, stop blocking energy independence. It's time to stand for American energy. Paid for by Stand for America, Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-449-8811. That's 1-800-449-8811. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-449-8811. That's 1-800-449-8811.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location, plus skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Football Friday edition of the show rolls on. And we're joined now by Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, creatively titled. He joins us now, and follow Logan on X at Logan_Blackman. How you doing, Logan? It's been a bit of a tough week for your Buffalo Bills. Are you holding up?
I've calmed down a lot since Monday. Monday night, I was scorched earth. That was, my dad could tell you. We were talking to my mom after the game. We were
take us inside
in their room, just talking about the game.
What was that like? The moment, like in your household, the moment that they commit the penalty. Like, what was that like?
So to make it even more depressing, my dad and I high-fived after the missed field
goal. Oh, no!
So to add on to the pain, we had the celebratory high-five, and then we look back at the TV, and we see the two flags sitting by the goalpost. And we're like, what? No. And they show the line, they count them all out. It's like, oh, my God. And then, of course, he sinks the next one. It's like, it hurt. I was livid. Like, I was more mad than my dad was after the game, but I think my expectations for the season were a little bit higher than his going in, but it hurt. That one hurt more than the Patriots game, I think. They're both close, but that Broncos game, like, it was like watching the Jets Week 1 game all over again. It helped that Troy and Joe were calling the game, but they ran the same plays pretty much. It was which makes it funny that Sean Payton went scorched earth on Nathaniel Hackett before the season. They did the exact same plays pretty much as the Jets did, lined up in 12 personnel the entire time and ran it with Javonte Williams. And it just sucks. It's not a fun time right now.
No, not at all. Outside of your Bills, maybe something more good vibes. Anything else headed into Week 11 of the NFL that's got your attention? Obviously, the big news today is that Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow is out for the rest of the season. And at this point now, it's like, well, I'm not going to care to watch the Bengals at all the rest of the season. I'm not going to consider them a factor. So I don't know if that's really much to sink your teeth into with respect to Joe Burrow. So what else are you looking at?
I think going off the topic of injured AFC North quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson's out for the year as well. I think, though, with the Browns, it's a little bit different because I am excited to see what Dorian Thompson-Robinson can do with extended playing time. We've seen him already this year, and he didn't play great. I think he only played one game so far. But to see him get fully immersed in the offense and knowing that this is his team, I don't know how long he'll stay for. They're hosting Joe Flacco, I think, this week. So
nice.
We'll see how Dorian Thompson-Robinson does against the Steelers. It's a winnable game for the Browns. Steelers' offense is notably not good, and the Browns' defense is notably fairly good. So They could coast through that game if they really want to. We could see like a really boring like 13-10 game or something like that.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't surprise me too much. But other than that, I am excited to see the battle for what looks like to be the top two teams in the draft in regards to a draft pick, Texans Cardinals. This looks like the be guaranteed top two picks. With the Cardinals having the Texans pick with the Will Anderson trade. Like they're two teams. It's not saying that the Cardinals are a great team or anything, but they're a lot better and a lot more competitive than I thought they would be. And now you got Kyler back, and then you got the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud playing. Like with how bad a lot of the other quarterbacks are
like
playing right now, we're like dark horse MVP candidate right there, and the first rookie to win one since '57 with Jim Brown. Like you got, they're a fun team to watch. They got a good young core around them. The offensive line's not great, but Tank Dell at wide receiver, I really like that. At Houston, Noah Brown, Nico Collins, like they're even Dalton Schultz. Devin Singletary, Bills legends also there. So I really like watching the Houston Texans play.
All right, let's turn the page to college football. As excited as you are for Week 11 of the NFL, Logan, I have to imagine that you are literally foaming at the mouth to watch that juggernaut of an Iowa offense on 2:30 tomorrow, at 2:30 tomorrow, take on Illinois. How about that? 402 yards of total offense. Big Deacon Hill spreads it around to seven different receivers, and the Hawks shut out the Rutgers 22-0. Now they got to take on the fighting Burt Bielema's. Where are you at with the Hawks right now?
And the Burt Bielema's put on an offensive display last week against Indiana. I did not expect that at all. So I'm a little more nervy going into this game than I would have been had I not seen the Indiana game. But hey, the Iowa offense, I'm halfway joking and not joking at the same time. Like they might have found their niche, I guess. They might have found their rhythm or hitting their stride because Deacon Hill looked decent at the end of the game against Northwestern. You could say this pass against Rutgers was his best game. The only thing that hurts and that's scary is that Cooper DeJean's out for the year.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that affects them mentally, not just in the defensive unit and the special teams unit, but not having a player like that on the field is a big, big, big time loss, but they can beat Illinois. Indiana or Illinois didn't start off great this year, but that offensive game against Indiana, that's really thrown me off. I'm not that came out of freaking nowhere. It's really thrown me off.
Okay, you and I, North Dakota State. This is basically the playoffs start a week early here for you and I. They got to win this game to get in to the 24 team FCS playoff field. Got to do it against their rival, albeit the Bison, not at their like dynasty level of dominance this season. They're 7-3, 4-3 in the Missouri Valley. When it comes to this game, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to sink your teeth into. But you and I quarterback Theo Day is going to have to be great tomorrow. And he's arguably coming off his worst game in a Panther uniform in last week's loss at Missouri State. You were a college quarterback, Logan. How can he bounce back? How do you bounce back when you know that, like, this is, I mean, besides the, you know, the playoffs that they made his sophomore season, this is the biggest game of his career.
Yeah, this is a massive game against North Dakota State. Like you said, they're not at their same level they once were, but it's still North Dakota State. It doesn't matter. It's still North Dakota State, and Theo Day is just going to have to use the mindset of next throw, wash it, next throw. Like, again, he had, I'll put it nicely, he had a very bad game against Missouri State, but everybody did against Missouri State. And we kind of talked about it last week. You don't want to look past Missouri State, because it was a game that you could look at and just go, oh, you and I should wash them. It's at Missouri State, but they should wash them. Look to North Dakota State. Like, I don't know if that's what happened per se, but I get a feeling that a little bit was that, because the way they just came out so flat-footed, and then you look at the first half down 21-3, it was just a rough game. And North Dakota State, they got two losses on the road this year against two teams, or apart from South Dakota State. Yeah, the South Dakota game was at home, but the North Dakota game, getting trounced on the road, like, hey, crazier things have happened, so pull up the upset and kind of save your season, I guess you could say. But yeah, just needs to wash it. Just wash it and move on.
You give Iowa State any chance against Texas tomorrow night? I mean, Iowa State is playing with a chip here, like so many other Big 12 teams that want to send the Longhorns out of the conference with an L.
It's a weird game. It's a really weird game, because it depends on what Texas team shows up, and I don't want to use, like they're starting running back Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL last week, but they've got, you know, C.J. Baxter, who's the number one running back in the country in high school last year. So they've got backups to go with their starters that would be starters if it not for a better starter. Like, it's just a really weird team, especially when you look at how they played last week. Like, there was a play against TCU last week where Quinn Ewers threw a pick, and then Texas stripped the guy who was returning the pick, and then Texas recovered the fumble. Like, it was just a really odd thing, and Quinn Ewers obviously coming off the shoulder injury. That was his first game back last week. They're really explosive. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. Like, they're one of the best receiving tandems in college football. And you got TJ Tampa, Jeremiah Cooper for Iowa State. Like, you've got people that can match up with them. But the problem is when you get in those situations where you might be able to stop them for a little bit, but can your offense keep up with Texas? And they had that nice game against BYU, but BYU's not Texas.
No.
So it'll be weird to see, or interesting to see how they move forward with this game, because if they can keep up with Texas and that Jack Trice crowd's bumping, they always have that one weird win where it's like, okay, where did that thing come from? They had the Oklahoma State win, the Virginia, West Virginia wins, Oklahoma wins, Texas wins. Like, it's gotten in them. That stadium's weird, and and if you can pull it off this week, be a very, very, everybody in the Big 12 will be biggest Iowa State fans moving forward.
Yeah, weird in a good way. All right, picks of the weekend. I will say this, looking at the board this week, it looked a hell of a lot better than last week's board. And, you know, I talked it into existence a week ago going 1-2. I've had a couple 1-2 weeks in a row here. I need to bounce back. I had a good stretch of 2-1s going earlier in the season. And my top of the confidence is Washington +1 at Oregon State. With respect to the Beavers, Logan, Washington knows it needs to make a statement because it is getting screwed right now in the college football playoff rankings, being behind Florida State as far as this college football reporter is concerned. So Washington getting the point on the road at Oregon State. Illinois, I love Burt Bielema, but Iowa, I think, will be locked in. I think they'll have a chip because of the Cooper DeJean thing. I think they cover 3 at home against Illinois tomorrow. And then I like your boy, and maybe soon to be my boy here, Drake May, plus 7.5 at Clemson. Clemson's looked better of late, but this would be a big statement win for the Tar Heels, and you're going to give me 7.5 points with it. Those are my three picks.
So I'm going to be lame. I'm going to do the same thing, North Carolina-Clemson. I had that game ready. Tez Walker versus Nate Wiggins is going to be one of the best corner versus receiver tandems all season long. Obviously, Drake May, Amarian Hampton at running back. Clemson's looked good, but that North Carolina offense, they're clicking. They are unstoppable. It's just a matter of their defense can keep up with them. And then you got Georgia versus Tennessee. It's at Tennessee. I just don't get the consistency with Tennessee. And the game last week was just weird against Missouri. Like, I looked at it once. It was 13-7. And then all of a sudden, I think it ended 37-7 or something like that, just out of nowhere. Georgia looked really good against Ole Miss last week. I'm going to take Georgia on the road. They're 10-point favorites. I'm going to take the Bulldogs in that one. And then finally, I'm going to stick with the SEC again. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, 606 yards of total offense is ridiculous. I don't understand how that's even possible against Florida. I don't think he'll have anywhere close to that against Georgia State. I think he'll probably get pulled at, like, the first drive of the third quarter or something. But they're 32-point favorites, and Georgia State is one of the worst defenses in the whole Sun Belt. So I'm going to take Jaden Daniels at home, at night, at Tiger Stadium. I'm sure they're going to rock the white helmets with the purple uniforms even better. So then they'll go into that game. I think Daniels goes off, and they cover easily against Georgia State.
Great stuff, Logan. Enjoy the weekend.
Yep, you too.
I'm Colleen Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Week 11 kicked off with an AFC North showdown as the Baltimore Ravens hosted the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens held a double-digit lead at halftime and didn't look back, defeating the Bengals 34-20. Lamar Jackson threw for 264 yards and two touchdowns while adding 54 yards on the ground. In the second quarter, Joe Burrow was ruled out with a right wrist injury. After the game, Zach Taylor said it looked like Burrow sprained his wrist but didn't give a timeline for recovery. Also, tight end Mark Andrews suffered a season-ending ankle injury in the first quarter. The Ravens improved to 8-3, remaining first in the AFC North, while the last-place Bengals fall to 5-5. In other injury news, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery next week in Los Angeles, according to Ian Rappaport. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Mid-Iowa Electric Motors and Equipment has over 20,000 square foot of warehouse inventory, making it the largest motor warehouse in North Iowa, Southern Minnesota, and now in Central Iowa. I'm Ryan Lehner. We are your leading source of replacement motors with more than 2,500 motors in stock. We also carry a variety of pulleys, capacitors, and belts. Mid-Iowa's repair shops in Mason City and now in Kessley, Iowa, are capable to rebuild or replace your existing motors. Visit us online at midiowa.com and on location at 16455 Lark Avenue, Mason City, and now in downtown Kessley, Iowa.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack, chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. In one of the more anticipated matchups of the season, the Ravens handled the Bengals last night in a game that featured All-Pro quarterback Joe Burrow watching mostly from the sidelines. But that doesn't mean the Ravens' victory doesn't hold any weight. Baltimore looks like a true force in the AFC. The team roughed up the 7-2 Lions 38-6, manhandled a talented Seahawks team 37-3, and then they roughed up the rival Cincinnati Bengals last night by 14. As of today, there's no clear-cut top team in the AFC. The Chiefs and the Dolphins still have the argument for that top spot, but after a string of impressive victories, even while missing all pros Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens' win over the Bengals last night maybe gave them the best resume in football. And with a quarterback as dynamic as Lamar Jackson, this could be your top contender at the end of the season. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. You know, in today's world, it seems like the best treatment is reserved for only a few. Well, Discover wants to change all of that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability. That means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in your life, you'll feel special with Discover. You can learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations do apply. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole and Company with Colbert. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time this week on the show. Got to thank Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for joining today's program, as well as Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. Good stuff, as always, from those two. Coming up in about 50 minutes, Waterloo Blackhawks hockey. The Hawks play host to Dubuque tonight. Pregame coverage at 6:45. Puck drop at 7:05. Meanwhile, over on Cruising KCFI, the Cedar Falls girls basketball team tips off its season tonight at home against Waterloo East. Coverage begins around 7:15. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be back on Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.